I was had the thoughts of maybe just doing something from my home, but we're going to do it from the church here. There's a few of us here tonight. But the main thing is that we're here to honor God. And why am I here tonight? I'm here to honor God. This is God's house. We go to God's house. I don't want to be a fair weather Christian, but yet I want to be sensible about the weather too. And then the old timers, they would go, rain or shine, they would be there. So we're gonna start prayer here tonight. We're gonna remember those that are sick. We had a lot of prayer requests this morning that we took to the Lord in prayer. We go and we ask a petition and we keep asking of that petition until we receive that answer that we're looking for. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. God, Lord, it's a privilege and an honor to be gathered in your house, Lord, and gathered in your name. And Lord, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst, oh God. I pray that you'll help us here tonight, God. Lord, by your power and spirit, that you'll speak to our hearts tonight, God. Lord, we remember those that are in need this night, God. Some not able to be here due to sickness. We pray that you will touch them in their bodies, that you will bring healing to them, oh Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that healing will come. We thank you for it, God. And if there are any others along the way, we pray that you will give them traveling mercies and protect them, God. Lord, that you will be honored and glorified here this night. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it, Lord. Amen. That's what it's all about. I'm getting ready to leave this world. And, we could say a lot of things tonight. Man, I hope Jesus don't come when the roads are bad because nobody will want to leave. They'll be afraid to go out of their houses. Well, we don't have to worry about it because we'll be from here to there in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. As the lightning flashes from the east even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But we don't want anything to hold us down in our praise and worship to God. I don't know about you, but I'm getting ready to leave this world. Amen. I'm getting ready to leave this world. That's what life is all about when you think about it. You're born into this world. Your life is a gift from God. And from the moment we're born into this world, we have but a short time, even if we live to be 100 years old, we have but a short time to prepare ourselves for that world that is waiting for us. And that's much better than the one we're living in now. Amen. There'll be no tempter, there'll be no sickness, there'll be no trouble, there'll be no trial, there'll be no tribulation, God. Lord, it will be so heavenly, it'll be so wonderful, oh God. Lord, we thank you for the promise, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Simplicity of the gospel. When we get older, we make it complicated. Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, and this is how it was, and if you don't do this, you can't have that, and if you do this, you can't have that. It's like we make it so complicated, but the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of children, they just believe what the Word of God says. And not so long ago here, I shared a message with you. Unless we become converted and become as little children, we can't enter into the kingdom of God. And so it would behoove us to look and see, what was the message that Jesus was given? What is it like to be a little child? I'm not talking about sucking your thumb and, wearing a diaper and have a bottle in your hand. That's not what Jesus was referring to. I believe that he's referring to the simplicity of a child. In one time in the scripture, it talked about a childlike faith. They just believe. They just trust. And God would have us to be more like that. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to just take a look here for the next few moments of time at some of the Psalms of King David when he was fleeing from Saul. And this wasn't a happy time in David's life. It was a very trying time in his life. And we're going to look at this. We have to realize that David, he felt isolated, yet he knew, and we can feel isolated at times, yet we know that we are hearing God's voice. David felt very isolated, but yet he knew he was hearing God's voice. He felt isolated from anybody else. In all reality, he was isolated because he was fleeing in the wilderness. Saul was after him. He was out there by himself, but he was hearing God's voice. And in your own life, you can feel isolated, yet you know that you're hearing God's voice. And maybe the enemy is on your trail, and we're not sure that we will survive. And that can happen to us. The enemy was on David's trail. He wasn't sure that he was going to survive. Many times, in a moment, we're going to get the scripture. Many times, David had to encourage himself in the Lord because he knew he was the anointed king, but he wasn't being treated like a king. He was running for his life. He was not really running scared, but we use that expression. He was worried that his own life was going to be taken. And there was times that David wasn't even sure that he was going to survive. And even when he felt totally alone, and we're going to look at some of the Psalms, I'm just laying a little foundation for you here. Even when David felt totally alone, and even when you feel totally alone, even though you're doing the right thing, David was doing the right thing. He was doing what God called him to do. He was honoring Saul as king. In the opportunities that David would have had, at least two opportunities, I believe it was, that he could have taken Saul's life, but he respected and he honored him because Saul, in David's eyes, not only in David's eyes, but in God's eyes, Saul was the anointed king, and David had great respect for him, and Saul had no respect for David. And so he felt alone. He felt alone. He felt totally alone, even though he was doing the right thing. And there's times in your life when you're doing the right thing, you are going to feel all alone. And then the people's response around David at times gave him a feeling of being alone and isolated. They just weren't really with him. They were curious. They wondered, how can you be like this? You have a chance. This man wants to take your life. You have a chance to take his life and you're not doing it. What is wrong with you? And so all that I just said here, David, he felt this way. He felt alone. He felt he was on the run. King Saul, his father-in-law, was seeking to kill him, to take his literal life from him, to draw blood, to put a sword in him. King Saul was looking for the opportunity to do that. So he felt alone. He felt on the run. Yet he knew he was to be the next king of Israel. But in the midst of all of this, God's hand was still on David. God's hand was still on David when he was running from King Saul, when he was after him. And what did David have to do? And we need to learn to do this. David had to learn to lean into God, to lean into God and to trust in God. Trust God with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. And I believe that's some of the words that David wrote, that he had to learn to lean into God. And he had to make sure his heart was still after God. For does not one of the verses say, even as David pants after the water, or as the deer, as the hart pants after the water brook, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul also pants after you. So David had to make sure that his heart was still after God in the bad times and in the good times. And we need to do the same thing, making sure our heart is after God in the good times and in the bad times. When I talked about the bad times this morning, I talked about the storms this morning. And a lot of times when we go through storms, we're human. You might not publicly say it, but in your heart, you're thinking, and if anybody likes it, I would wonder about you. But when you get in those storms, you get in those bad times, you begin to wonder where God is. Does God even see me? Does God even care about me? And so some of these Psalms that we're going to look at, that idea was in there. He wondered where God was. Did God see him? Did God know what was going on in his life? But he had to make sure that his heart was still after God in the good times and in the bad times. It's easy to serve God when things are going good, but when things are going bad, it's to serve God. We call it our service to God, but many people that have this tendency to only come to God when they're in trouble. When they're in trouble, they come to God and they seek a close relationship with him because they're looking for guidance, they're looking for direction, that they want to know what to do. Then once they get that guidance and direction to what they feel is from the Lord, and then they forget about God. They don't serve God. God just doesn't want us to turn to him in the bad times. And as you were raising your children, your children will turn to you in hard times. But if that's the only time they turn to you, it's like, where are they when the good times are here? You want to enjoy some good times with them also. And it's the same way with God. God is good to us all the times. In the good times and in the bad times, we need to serve the Lord. So over in 2 Samuel chapter 22, David wrote this. And this was a psalm of deliverance that he was able to write after all these horrible things that he went through. And so I don't really want to read that chapter first, and I don't think I'm going to read the whole chapter tonight because it's 51 verses long. And so we might read some of it, but in your own time, read that chapter. It's entitled David's Song of Deliverance. Man, you read that, you just think he floated through life. Everything was good and wonderful. He never faced a trial or a tribulation. He just went from mountaintop to mountaintop. But we're going to look at some of the things that Daniel went through, or excuse me, that David went through. So if you turn over to Psalms chapter 34, Psalms chapter 34, we are going to look at this psalm here, and we're going to look at when David wrote this. This is when he was really going through the heat. And in this psalm here, it's related to, and we're going to go back over to 1 Samuel. You have to turn back over there. First, not 2 Samuel, but 1 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to lay a little footwork here, a little groundwork. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And this is what David was going through at the time that he wrote Psalms 34. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10 through 15. 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 through 15. This is what he was going through. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and fenced himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let the spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? And so that's the setting that we get this psalm from, Psalms 34. And this psalm has all the marks of a testimony of one who narrowly escaped death, really close to death. I mean, it just by a whisker, he didn't face death. And so as we read this, this contains the praise and the testimony of the one who redeemed him, and the season instruction that can come from such deliverance. And the deliverance that he received in those verses that I just read, and I'm going to read this psalm to you, and this is the first 10 verses that he wrote after he made himself being like a madman. He was fearing for his life. And as he wrote these verses here, we look at this, and these first 10 verses are a praise and a testimony of the one who has redeemed him. Psalms 34, and this is one that we like. And you would think, how could he come up with something like this when he just went through what he went through, narrowly escaping death? Because if they'd have found out who he really does, they probably would have put a sword in him. He thought, to protect myself, I have to act like I'm this madman. And he was scratching on the walls, and he was letting spit right out of his mouth, down onto his beard. And the king said, this isn't no normal man here. I don't want him coming into my house. But in the midst of that, David wrote this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord campeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The uplines do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And so when you read that, you think, wow. And there's a lot of verses in there. If you've gone to church for very long in your life, you've heard references to a lot of those verses that I just read. But do you realize what this man went through after he went through what he did, and then he was able to sit down and write these kind of words of his strong faith and trust in God? He wasn't ashamed of himself, how that he changed his behavior, and he was very fearful that he was going to face death, but he gave glory to God. And then in the last parts of this, verses 11 through 22, we're going to read those. Here is seasoned instruction that comes from such a deliverance. Now he's going to give us some instruction because of the great deliverance that he had when he was almost going to lose his life, acting like a madman, scratching at the door, letting spit run down his beard, acting like he was a madman, a crazy man. And then he wrote those first 10 verses. And then here, he's going to give us some instruction that he's able to give us from getting the deliverance that he got. And it says this, "Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry," I like this here, "the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth." Oh, that's good, but it goes farther. "And delivereth them out of all their troubles." Some of us need to claim that. And that's a promise in the Word of God. David wrote that. The righteous cry. The Lord hears when we cry, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." The Lord's going to save those. And what he's really saying here, the way that I see this, when you realize you can't do it on your own, and I'm not going to get myself out of this situation, and there's nothing I can do, and it's all God, that's a broken and a contrite spirit. When you get into that heart, when you get into that situation, God is going to save, and he is going to help that person. "Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Verse 19, "The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord is going to deliver you." He got this testimony because he went through and narrowly escaped the death. "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." And that means condemned. And so what a testimony he had going through that very, very, very hard time in his life. The next psalm that we want to look at is Psalms 52. Psalms 52. And this psalm here, each one of them is a little bit different. And this psalm here is one of the 8 written when David was fleeing from Saul. We're not going to look at all 8 of them tonight, but he wrote 8 psalms when he was fleeing from Saul. And this one refers to the occasion when Doeg had accused Ahimelech, the priest, because the priest had assisted David at Nod. And the description of Doeg is one of the most contemptuous in Scripture. And because of his betrayal, Doeg will be destroyed. And we're going to read this in verses 1 through 4 of 52. "Because of his betrayal, Doeg's going to be destroyed, and the righteous will learn from it," in verse 5, and then verses 6 and 7, "and the righteous will learn from it," verses 6 and 7, "and David, a righteous man, will come to flourish." And this was a terrible happening that happened in David's life. And so when was this? Let's go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And so you know what he was facing here. We can read these psalms and think, well, that's nice. And, oh, that verse tickles me a little bit. That tickles my fancy. I like that one. I'm going to grab that one. But do you know what this man went through to be able to write these things? And so I'm in 2 Samuel. I got to get in the right gear here. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. This is what was going on when David wrote this Psalm 52 that we're going to look at in a minute. And David flees to Nod, N-O-B, Nob, I guess you call it. And so we're going to read the first 9 verses. Then came David to Nod to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it was sanctified unto this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, and there was no bread there, but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, D-O-E-G, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, is there not here under thine hand a spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like it, give it to me. And so that's part of what he was going through. And now we're going to go over to chapter 22 to get the whole story, and we're going to pick up in verse 9. Okay? Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nod to Elimelech the son of Ahitub. And he inquired of the Lord for him, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Then the king sent to call Elimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, and they all came, and they came, all of them, to the king. And Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. And Saul said unto him, why have ye conspired against me, thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as at this day? Then Elimelech answered the king and said, and who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father. For thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. And the king said unto the footmen that stood about him, turn and slay the priest of the Lord. Notice that they're slaying the priest of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled, and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priest. And this is an ugly thing that he did. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest, and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. He killed 85 priests. And Nob, the city of the priests, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women and children and sucklings and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword. And one of the sons of Elimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abnathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abnathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abnathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. So that's a horrible thing that David went through. And after he went through this, he was able to sit down and read, write Psalms 52, and it's only nine verses long. And in the first 4 verses, it talks about his betrayal and Doeg being destroyed. Why boasteth thou self in chapter 52, verse 1? Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words. O thou deceitful tongue. God, and then in verse 5, here we go with this. It changes course just a little bit here. I have to look in my notes that I have here. Amen. I have to look at my notes. I'm getting back up in there. And so the righteous are going to learn from it. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. Speaking of Doeg and what he did. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. And now he turns to the righteous people, the ones that live right, are going to learn from the mistake that Doeg made in verses 6 and 7. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, how foolish he was to do what he did. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. That's what they're going to say. And then David, as a righteous man in verses 8 and 9, he is going to continue to flourish. And here it goes. But David said, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. To be able to write something like that. And there could be times in your life when you go through a really difficult time. And after you go through that difficult time, you might say, well, I'm not given to writing and doing things like that. I don't have that gift or talent. But God can anoint you to be able to come out with some good words to write, or he can anoint you with a testimony that you can stand up in a church and you can edify the saints of God, knowing what you just have gone through, and you can stand up and bring glory and praise, amen, to the name of Jesus for the great deliverance that he gave you. But remember, you have to go through a storm if you're going to have a testimony of deliverance. If you never go through a storm, you're never going to have a testimony of deliverance. If you're going to have a testimony of healing, you're going to have to go through some sickness. If you're going to have a testimony of financial blessing upon your life, you're going to have to go through some times when you weren't so financially blessed to be able to have those testimonies. And so you need to give glory to God. The next psalm we want to look at is Psalms 59. But before we read that psalm there, let's see what it was that David was facing before he wrote this psalm. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we're going to look at a number of verses here. 1 Samuel chapter 19, yeah, I'm going to read 17 verses, but we want to see what David went through and then how he was able to sit down and write Psalms chapter 59, okay? We're going to look at this. And this is Jonathan's friendship for David. And Saul spoke to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. Kill him! He's no good. He's trying to take the kingdom from me. Jonathan, you're the next one in line. He's trying to take it away from you. Kill him. He's not your friend. Don't think he's your friend. He's in it for himself. Get rid of him. That kind of talk probably went on. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father. That was a brave thing to do. And Saul said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee very good. He said, don't do anything bad to David. He's done nothing but good to you, Saul. Dad, he's been nothing but good to you. I know you want to kill him. You want us to kill him. But my advice is don't do it, because he hasn't done nothing good to you. For he did put his life in his hand, and he slew the Philistine, referring to Goliath. He's reminded Saul of what David had done. And the Lord brought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou, Saul, sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan and said, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. I'm not going to kill him. You're right. He's a good old boy. We're going to take care of him. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in past times. And there was a war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, and he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also set messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David, a lot of you don't realize this story in the Bible, this happening. She warned him, they're going to get you tomorrow, they're laying wait. You're going to get away tonight, David, or you're going to be killed in the morning. So what did she do? And this was Saul's daughter, David's wife. Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul and said unto him, let me go. Why should I kill thee? And so after this happening, he narrowly escaped again. And then we come over to Psalms 59. And this is when he wrote Psalms 59. And in the first couple of verses of this psalm, as we look at it, we're going to look at it tonight. this psalm, it's David's prayer while he was so threatened by his enemies. And what it contains and intertwined within it is a petition. And he had a petition before the Lord. Verses 1 through 3 is this petition before the Lord. And the last part of verse 4. And this is what David said. He was in dire straits, okay? He was trapped. They were going to get him. And in the midst of that, when you're in the midst of a storm, you don't think, I got a testimony. In the midst of a storm, you can have the best testimony that you ever had. And some of the best testimonies that I've ever heard from saints of God were saints of God that were in the midst of a storm. Some of your best testimonies come from that. He said, deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. And then he's referring to Saul and his men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin. It's not because I did anything wrong, O Lord. They run and they prepare themselves without fault. There's nothing that I've done. There's no reason. And then here's the last part of his petition. He said, awake to help me. He says, Lord, wake up, listen to what's going on. I need your help in this situation. And then he begins to lament. And that means we could look at lament sort of as, and not really crossing that line, but close to, it could be interpreted as a complaint, as a reason. Lord, this is what's going on. So he starts to pour out his heart to God. And he says, now therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. They return, and this is going to, we're going to read this down through 11 and 13. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog, go around about the city. He's telling God what they're doing to him. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who say they doth hear? But thou, O Lord, and here's his confidence again in God, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. He's once again placing his confidence in God, making that confession of faith in God. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not. Lest my people forget, scatter them by their power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. He said that to them there. And then here he begins to make confessions or expressions of God, amen, of trust in God's answers. God, whatever your answer is going to be, my trust is in you. And he says this, and at evening, let them return and let them make a noise like a dog. Go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for me and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. All this is going on. I will sing of thy power. I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. And we read that psalm and think, oh, that's good and wonderful. But I shared with you what David went through when he wrote that psalm. That wasn't a pleasant time in his life. That wasn't a pleasant night in his life. They had surrounded the house. They were going to get him in the morning. And his wife knew about it. She says, you got to get out of here now. If you don't get out of here now, you're going to be dead in the morning. And she helped him escape. And her father wasn't happy about that. But he talks about God's provision and God helping him. And the last psalm that we're going to look at today is Psalm 63. And David, he wrote this in the wilderness of Judah. He wrote this in the wilderness of Judah. And in this, he has thoughts of confidence and trust. He has thoughts of confidence and trust. It's predominant in this psalm. Thoughts of confidence and trust. And it's a psalm of confidence. It's a psalm of confidence that God will satisfy the thirsting souls. And he wrote this while he was in the wilderness of Judah, is when he wrote this. And so the expressions of trust are found in verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 7. And they are rich with figures that picture the absolute stability of being found in God. Being found in God. So let's read verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6 and 7. He was found in God. It says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. That's where I'm at. To see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. And you could be going through a hard, dry time in your life. And you can use those words that David used here. And he says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My soul longeth for thee. And I'm in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. And you've heard it said this way, expressed this way before. In your spiritual walk with God, I don't understand all the whys and therefores, but God is almighty and he is all powerful. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and he will do what he will do. But there are times in a Christian's life where it feels like it's a dry time. And I've heard people express it this way. I make my prayers to God, and it feels like they go up and hit the ceiling and come bouncing back down to me. It's just a dry time. I worship and I praise the Lord, and we are Pentecostal, and we like to feel, we like to feel the goosebumps. We like to feel the Spirit of God moving up on us. And you could go through times in your life where you're not feeling God like you would like to feel him. And it's a dry time. You're going through a dry time. You can call out to God and you can say, Lord, I'm in a dry land, and I want to see thy power and thy glory. So as I've seen in thy sanctuary. And now let's go down. Here, I got to look at my notes again. And read verses 5 through 7. This is his petition to God when he was in the wilderness. And a wilderness isn't a place where you want to be. My soul, verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, I'm going to remember you in those places because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice, is what he is writing. Amen. And the stability that was found in God, and that's what he was saying there. The words that he were using, the nouns he was using. You're my rock. You're my salvation. You're my defender. You're my glory. You're my refuge. And then he gives his complaint. or his lament a little bit, his prayer and his plea in verses 3 and 4, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Even though I'm in a wilderness, your loving kindness is better than life, and I am going to praise you in this wilderness. And he said, thus will I bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Even though I'm in the wilderness, I'm in the dry place, I'm going to bless your name, I'm going to lift up my hands. It doesn't matter if I feel your presence or not, I'm going to honor you and glorify you because you're the Almighty God. And he wasn't going by feelings, he was going by faith as he was going through this. And he talks about the concerns that he had with his enemies. He had concerns about them. And then he expresses his confident position that he's able to exhort others to trust in the Lord. Even though I'm going through a hard and a dry time, I know that I can exhort and help others that are going through a hard time in their life. And let's start at verse 8 and through the end, because I believe it's only 12 verses long. No, it's 11 verses long. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I'm in this dry time. I'm in this wilderness. It says, my soul followeth hard after thee. And that means close behind thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go in the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. And so there's other psalms that we could look at. And because of time, we're not going to do that tonight. And so I had made reference to this when we started. So if you go back over to 2 Samuel chapter 22, and you can take the time to look at this at home. After he finally received his deliverance from Saul, after all the dust settled, all the running, all the hiding, all the back and forth, all these things that went on, then David wrote a song of deliverance. Because he had finally received the victory, and it's because he stayed true and faithful to God. So, or 2 Samuel chapter 22. Read this in its entirety at home this week sometime. Read it. And you read that and think, oh man, that blesses me. Oh, that sends a little chill down my spine. Amen. That sounds good and right. But we didn't go through what David went through. These words were from his heart because of many things that he passed through to get to this point. Chapter 22. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. And when did he do this? In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And so it starts off in verse 2. And we're going to just pick up a little bit of it. I'm not going to read through because it goes verse 2 through 51. But it is powerful what it says. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. There's a song that's written like that. When the waves of death can pass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And it did. We read about that. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. And then here he goes. He learned this. We have to learn this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. We need to grab a hold of that. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomforted them. And the channels of the sea appeared, and the foundations of the world were dissolved at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. For they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into the large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from thy God. And I read through verse 22, and you can read the rest of that at home. And so, each of us have a story. Yours isn't like David. I don't think any of us in here or those that I'm speaking to on Facebook have ever probably really had somebody trying to literally, physically kill you and take your life. And they had you boxed in and they were going to take your life and they were just against you and this and that. But there are other things that come against us. And the enemy tries to always box us in. And then he brings those words of doom. You're surrounded. You just might as well give up. I mean, there's no escape from this now, but we need to trust in the Lord our God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help us, Lord. God, as we've looked at some of these examples of some of these psalms that David wrote after these terrible, hard times in his life and things that he went through, God, that you were faithful to him, God. But we also noticed in the teaching of the word tonight that when David went through hard times, he looked to you. He didn't give up on you. He didn't turn his back on you. He didn't wonder where you were. God, he stuck by your side. He stayed faithful to you, God. Lord, and let us be like David was, as the deer pants after the water brook, oh God, so that our soul will pant after you, God, in our calamity, in our time of trouble, when it seems like everybody and everything is against us, God. We will call upon the name of the Lord, God, that you will deliver us and you will help us in the name of Jesus. What's that song that we used to sing? I know it's one of the Psalms. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Does anybody know where that's found in the Bible? So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall, in your songs, words I'm missing, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord, he liveth, and blessed be the God. Let the rock of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the God, and let the rock of my salvation be exalted. And so you see the secret. You got to call upon the Lord. Well, God sees me. He knows that everybody's against me. And my God's a great God. He's just going to take care of it for me. You have to call upon the name of the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, and he will deliver me, and he will help me. Because by you and me calling on the Lord in the time of trouble, that is an act of faith. God, I have the faith that only you can help me. And I'm calling upon your name to deliver me and help me, and he will do it. But we can take the other side. Well, if God so chooses, he'll deliver me. And if not, I guess it's just my fate. I don't think there's any such thing for the child of God unless you give yourselves into that. Amen. Be encouraged in the God of your salvation this day. Does anybody need special prayer? Amen. Any prayer requests that we want to remember when we close in prayer tonight? Amen. God is good. And think about this. Think about what they're written for our example, that we just don't skim over, but we're like, wow, that's power-packed words by what this man went through. And there's people that have power-packed testimonies. Amen. Let your faith and your trust be in God and God alone. Father God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this word. We thank you for helping us, God. Lord, and help us to remember the mighty God that you are. Lord, that we will call upon the Lord. God, because you're worthy to be praised, but God, you're God Almighty. You have all power in heaven and in earth, God. Lord, that we will learn to call upon you and look to you and not get a self-pity, poor me kind of attitude. God, but we'll be always looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Encourage each one tonight in their faith, oh God. Help us, Lord. We thank you for it, Jesus. God, be with each one as we leave this place.